Good evening. We're right in the middle of the Merit of Shalom, the rebellion of Avshalom. And this question I asked last week is still on the table. Why did it succeed so well at the beginning? People were prepared to reject David without a second look. And that's a bit of a shock. You know, we think once they got David and they've got this fantastic king and he's a strong man and he's so powerful and everything else, what more do they need? And along comes Avshalom, the son, and David's out of the picture. All right, I know David is in his 60s. He's sort of getting towards the end, probably, of their perception of a kingship. But it's very strange, the way that they really want to push him out. There's a bit more to this than meets the eye.
But isn't it also that he ran away?
Like, well, the fact that he...
Very strange thing. You could be backing someone, and all of a sudden he runs away, and you say, what am I backing?
Yeah, which is also very odd, his whole reaction here. What we'll do, I want to get through the basic facts. So we've got essentially two parochim to cover. They're quite long, but we'll sort of zip through them. And just to get the basic facts on the ground, and we may get to some sort of resolution of that question this evening. So we're looking at chapter 17, and remember, what has happened is, and we've got all the players, you know, if you want to have that sheet, I've still got the same sheet from last week, you might need it, because
where's the group sheet?
It's very interesting to have, there we go, just to have in front of you who's who. The guys that we're going to be dealing with this evening, in terms of the story, are somebody called Hushai Arki, who is down in G on the right hand side. He's a friend of David, and he's now gone back to Avshalom's camp, back to Yerushalayim, and he basically wants to hear what's going on. And he is now going to be consulted as a sage. What happens here, which is very interesting, Achitophel is the kind of the guru. Everybody seems to go to Achitophel and get aitzes from him. And his advice is very, very powerful. If we get a chance, we'll look at the Pirkei Avot at the end, because I think I understand the Pirkei Avot. I've never understood it before. The whole thing where it talks about that if you learn from a Rebbe, you have to give him cover. We learn from David HaMelech and Achitophel. Achitophel was not David. Was not David's supporter here. Achitophel, in fact, you'll see what happens to him. He changed camps, and there's a whole Tehillim about Achitophel. Tehillim Nunhei. You'll have a look there, and you'll see David doesn't have a lot of patience for him. Doesn't have a lot of nice things to say. But at the same time, we have to understand that there is a tremendous twist. This reminds me of Megillat Esther. This is like when the king wakes up. And I've got to find out something which happened so long ago, and I've got to find out, what did we reward him? You know, it's coming out of the blue. And look at chapter 17, and what we'll do, we'll go through these issues here of what exactly happens by the end of the rebellion, and we'll see that this twist is really remarkable. So the two gentlemen we need to appreciate again, Hushai Arki, who is a friend of David, obviously a much older gentleman, and Achitophel, who according to Chazal is around 32, 33 years old. So he's a very young guy, but he's obviously very accomplished in terms of what he does. So we're looking at chapter 17. Have a look at this. Vayom Achitophel Avshalom. So Achitophel says to Avshalom, right, and he is going to give advice about what to do next in the rebellion. David's run away. What do we do? Evcharanash, name Asa Elef Ish, choose 12,000 men. He says, I will choose them, says Achitophel. V'akumo v'eretav achrei David halayla, I'll go after David at night. I'm gonna chase him. I'm gonna find him. I'm gonna kill him. V'avoala posib bet, I'll come to him. V'hu yager refei yodayim, he'll be bit shmach, weak as it were. V'charadati yota, I'll make him afraid. V'nas kol ayam, I show to the people, run away. V'keiti yata melech levado, and I'll kill the king. Wow, that's a friend, right? He says, basically, I'm going to kill Achitophel. Says, I'll kill David, and that will essentially seal the situation.
How old is Achitophel?
Achitophel is a young guy, he's in his 30s, right? So he's able physically to run and do this, but you'll see what happens. Very odd story. Pasuk Gimel, Vashiva kalam elecha, and then I'll return all the people to you. Keshuv hakol ish asher atam avakesh, right? And when everyone has come back, the man who you seek, kolam yes shalom. Then, in other words, David will be gone, and everyone will be looking towards you, and then there'll be peace. That was Achitofel's Eitzah. And of course, Vayishar Dava Bein Avshalom. Avshalom says, Yashakar. Vayishar, Yasha, Yashakar, the same one. He says, that's right, that's a good piece of advice. Ve'enei kol Ziknei Yisrael. And it was good in the eyes of the elders of Israel. Ziknei Yisrael normally means the good guys, the old wise sages. Rashi says here, Ziknei Ashmai. Ziknei Ashmai, I suppose, comes from the word Asham. These are the guys who, he translates in the English, uncultured old men. So in other words, these are like the people looking for a fight. These are not the regular Zakenim. These are not the regular elders that you go to for advice, the people on the Sanhedrin. These are people who are just joining in order to make trouble. So that's the suggestion here according to Rashi. The good Eitzah, Achitofel will leave, will go, will find David, send everybody else away, they'll kill David, and that will be it. So Avshalom at this point, and it's very unclear why. I would suggest that maybe he has kind of sense that, you know, he's suggesting killing my father. He sort of just stops himself in his tracks and says, but how can you kill, you know, how can you go and kill my father? I mean, he's sort of maybe realizing that the Eitzah is a very, very definitive, but also very disastrous in terms of the family. So what does Avshalom do? Vayom Avshalom krana gam l'chushai ha'araki. He says, I want a second opinion. All right, this is a good sort of like with a doctor. He says, "Let me go and get Uchushai, call him." And let's listen to what he has to say. And the suggestion is because Chushai was a friend of David, and he'll know what David does and how David behaves. And you know what? Maybe Chushai can give us another view. And the question is, good evening. And the question, of course, why you needed a second point of view in this situation is very odd. As I said, you can speculate here. Why did Avshalom want to get a second opinion on what to do about David in the middle of the rebellion? You know, and you can say maybe he had a sense of Rachmanus. I mean, I don't know what to say. It could very well be that, you know, that Nichnas Baruch Shtut, that there is a sense of craziness that came into him. And to go and ask Hushai, who's a friend of David, in itself might have seemed sensible, but you know, when you think about it, it really is not a sensible thing to do. Unless you're absolutely convinced that Hushai has now become your friend. He's left David and he's become a friend of Avshalom. Whatever you want to say, I leave you to speculate on why this happened. Oh yes, we just need... this is just to keep tabs on who's who. Otherwise one gets very confused. There's a lot of people floating around here. All right, so we're on chapter 17, and we're looking at Pasuk Vav. And again, the story very simply, right in the middle of the rebellion, Avshalom is asking Achitofel what to do. He says, go and kill David. I'll go and kill David, and everything will be fine. And Avshalom seems to retract from that. And he says, let's ask Hushai. Hushai was obviously, again, somebody who gave eitzahs, he gave advice. Let's see what he has to say. Remember, he was mentioned already as a friend of David who was going to go back to Avshalom's side to try and find out what's going on. And then he would send the two messengers, Yonatan and Achimat, the two Kohanim, who could run very quickly. They would go and tell David what's going on. So look at Pasuk Vav. Vayavo Hushai Avshalom. So Hushai arrives. Vayom Avshalom elav leimo. Avshalom says, Kadava zeh dibe Achitofel. He tells him what Achitofel said. Hana said Devaro. So he says, should we do what he says? Second opinion. Im ayin atadaber. And if not, then tell me what to do. You tell me what to do. Vayom Chushai el Avshalom. Now Chushai says to Avshalom, very interesting. He's a smart guy. Lo tava itza sheyatz Achitofel b'pam hazot. Achitofel, normally he is cast iron. He's the guy that, you know, you go to for all the advice, matter what it is. On this occasion, he's got it wrong. Wow. And this is taking a risk. All right, and of course, lo tova itza is the double expression here, double meaning. It could be it's no good for you, and of course, what he really means is no good for David. All right, what Achitofel is actually saying is going to do away with King David. So lo tova itza has got a double whammy. He's got a double entendre, and obviously Avshalom hears it as lo tova for himself, for Avshalom. So vayom Chushai posachet. Oh, Chushai says, ata yadata et avicha ve'et anashav. You know your father and his men. And he brings in that whole reason now why you can't go and kill them. Because they're very strong. They're also pretty bitter. You know, they've been pushed around a long time. He gives him like a comparison. It's like a bear that's missing its cubs in the field. All right, this is what they say. If you meet a bear in the summer in the Catskills, for goodness sake, don't give the impression that you're going to take anything away from it, because that will be the worst thing. Then it'll attack you. And this is exactly, it's always been like that. And he says to him, your father's a man of war. And he will not lodge with the people. In other words, you think just by going to the people, you'll be able to get the people to leave and kill David? No. In other words, Hushai is saying, be-emes, in truth, it probably will work. But I'm telling you, it's not going to work. All right? But what do I suggest you should do instead? Hineyatahu nechba ba'achad ha-pchatim. I know where he is, proximately. He's hidden in one of the holes, the pits. O ba'achad ha-mekomot, or another place. Ba'yakin afol behem ba'techila. And what will happen is that if you go and try and attack, and you suffer losses, you know what's going to happen? People will hear and say, Shalom is losing. Because they will immediately assume that if you go and try and get David and kill him, and you lose men in the process, that you, following Avshalom, are losing. And of course, this is something that you don't want. You don't want to have a rumor going around that Avshalom is losing, because then you've lost it completely. So you know what? For who Gam Ben Chaya, and he rubs it in, Hushai. He's a smart guy. He says, you know, he's also, Hushai says, your father is a very strong man. Asher libo kalev ariyeh. He's like the heart of a lion. He may see moss, and everyone will melt away. Ki yodea kol iso ki gibba avich. Everyone knows your father is a gibba, he's a shtark, a mensch. Ubenei chaya lasher ito, and the people with him. Ki yoadzti. Because I have given advice. In other words, what I'm going to tell you to do is different. Hushai says, you know what you've got to do? You've got to have not, like Achitofel said, 12,000 men, which you thought would be enough. You know what? You've got to get the whole of the Jewish people. This is obviously very smart, because once you get rid of Avshalom in front of the whole of the Jewish people, then they're all going to be absolutely loyal to David. This is bringing everybody together. As they say in Scotland, you've got to bring the clans together, right? In order to make a new situation here. And this is what they're doing here. And Hushai is very smart. So he says like this again, Pasuk Yudalev, chapter 17, verse 11. Ki yo'atzti yosef yosef alecha kol yisrael midor be'sheva. I'm telling you, bring all the people together from north to south. Those are the two places, one in north, one in the south. Kechol asher al yam larov, like the sand on the shore. So many people. Uponecha holchim bakram, and you lead the army. In other words, Avshalom, you've got to go. Not like Achitofel says that he's going to go and he'll kill David for you. He'll be your shaliach. No, Avshalom, you've got to go. Uvanu elav, and you will come to him. Bachad ha-makom ha-tashen in where David is hiding. V'nachnu alav kashay yipal atal adama, will be on him like the dew upon the ground. He's very good at giving all the metaphors here. V'lo natabo v'chol anashim asher ito gam echad. Nobody will be left, not even one. In other words, you know what's going to happen over here? It's not that you just go and kill the king. You've got to kill all his men as well. Hushai is saying to Avshalom, you've got to lead. And you've got to lead from the front, and you've got to take all the men you can possibly take with you, and achieve what you're going to achieve. The imal eir save, and if he goes into a city, they siu kol yisrael leirahi chavalim, and they start putting ropes on the city. And the suggestion is that this is how they would climb up to the walls of the city. They throw ropes over the city, and then they climb up the ropes in order to attack the city by climbing over the walls. So that's what we will do. We'll make ropes. V'sachavna oto al adanacha, and then we'll drag him out into the valley. Ad asher lo nimtza sham gam tzro, where there won't even be one small stone. In other words, basically, we'll take him, after we destroy the city, we will capture David from that city. That's basically what he's saying. Now, Avshalom has got a choice. Does he take the first opinion, Achitofel, 12,000 men, not going himself to war, but let Achitofel do the job, who is probably very capable of doing it, and leave it at that? Or does he take Hushai's advice and does this tremendous attack on David with thousands upon thousands of people? Now, this is where Avshalom's gaiva kicks in. All right. Previously, I was trying to be Malamed Zichud. I thought that he was being more kind to his father. Now, from what I can see, he's now becoming a bit full of his own situation. So what does he do? Pasuk Yudalet. V'yom Avshalom v'chol ish Yisrael tova atzat Hushai arki me'atzat Achitofel. You know what? Hushai, one up to you. He's done better than Achitofel. Achitofel is devastated. Achitofel is the man whose reputation for giving solid advice has never been challenged. And all of a sudden, they're going to reject what he says. And as I said, this is like in Megillat Esther, this is the turn of the whole story. Because by going for the advice of Hushai, who really had David's good intentions in mind, the reality was the whole situation turns around. And look what he says here, Vashem tziva lafet atzat achitofel atovah, this is all from God. Who had commanded, ordained, or whatever word you want to use. This was, as they say, Shkocha Protis, to break the advice of Achitofel, which was good, Leba'avor havi Hashem et Avshalom, el Avshalom et Arah, to bring evil to Avshalom. So the Pasuk is saying, as a commentary here, and remember, Sefer Shmuel here is being written by the Nevi'im, it's either by Natan or by Gad, two Nevi'im who were around at the time, that they are putting in kind of parentheses that this was Me'et Hashem, this was from God. This whole twist in the story, which was the key to the whole thing, listening to the second opinion and not taking the first opinion. And what happens next is so fascinating. Ted Vav, of course, Hushai is loyal to David, and he's now, as they say, a double agent. So he's got to send the messengers to tell David, you know, hide, because these guys are coming to get you. So he sends a message to Tzadok and Eviatar. This is what Achitofel said. And what he said to the elders of Israel. This is what I said. In other words, he gives the whole picture. He says that, in other words, to show to David that he is very loyal. Go quickly and tell David, saying, Labor, al talen alayla bavrod midbar. Don't stay where you are tonight in this place in the desert. Gam avor tavor, go further. Pen yivulala melech olam asheito. Otherwise, you might be destroyed. Because what's going to happen is, if they catch up with you before you get out of that particular place, you will be killed. So he's giving David a heads up how to get out of a difficult situation. Yud Zayin. And of course, who runs? This is back to the sheet you have in front of you. You have section D. You have Achimatz and Yonatan, the two sons of the Kohanim, Tzadok and Eviatar, and those guys are very good runners. As we know, they Tzadok and Eviatar were Kohanim, and they had two sons, one called Achimatz of Tzadok, Ben Tzadok and Yonatan Ben Eviatar, and they were Olympic standard, I suppose you would say, in these days. They could, you know, as you say in Yiddish, meloift. They really could loif, they could run. And these guys would take the message to David as quickly as possible. Exactly what they did. And look what happened. Yud Zayin, verse 17. Yonatam achimatzam din bein rogel. They're in a place called Ein Rogel. Valchash shivcha v'agidu lahem. And this woman comes and tells them, because she was given the message to pass on to them from presumably the father. You know, they've got to be careful here because they're being watched. Because even if they are even if they are on the other side with Avshalom, they're suspected still possibly of being friends of David. So you've got to get a message to the two runners. So they do it through a shivcha, through this woman. They're going to go and tell David. They couldn't come to the city to get the message because that would be suspicious. So what happened was they sent a shivcha with the message. She met them outside the city and they started running. Now, the trouble is, somebody saw them. Vayarotam na'ar. A lad saw them. We're not told who the lad is. And there's a young man who sees them. And we're not given any inkling, really, who it is. Rashi doesn't want to even attempt. Sometimes they have a tradition about who it may be. In this case, it's not clear who it is. Vayaged l'Avshalom. But he told Avshalom straight away. You know what? There are two guys outside the city, and I saw this woman giving them the advice. You know, I think the plan has been spoiled. So they had to run away because the Avshalom would send men to capture them, to bring them back. They came to the man, the house of the man in Bachurim. A place Bachurim, by the way, was where Shimi ben Gera came from. And I'm wondering if this Ish Bachurim is actually Shimi. I'm not sure. But they go to this man in Bachurim. So they've got to hide, so they hid in the well. All right, it's an amazing story. So now, of course, you know, you've got a subplot here. You've got these two guys who are running to tell David the news, and they're having to hide in the well from Avshalom's men. So how do they survive this? Because the men are chasing them. This is like the classic sort of cowboy movie. You know, you've got the posse, and they're chasing after the two guys. Vatikacha isha. So this woman was very smart. She, and this blows my mind. You've got here a situation which is literally life and death. And in the middle of all of this, we've got halacha hilchos tznius taking place. We've got the law of modesty. What's the law of modesty? That this woman stands by the well where the two guys are hiding, and she uncovers her hair. And the guys are, and you've got this group that are chasing the two men who are, trying to catch the messengers who are running to David. And in the middle of all of it, they suspect they're in the well, but she's standing there by the well, and her hair's uncovered. So they say, "Oi, Matunish kicking, I mustn't go and see." So they turn around and go the other way. It's unbelievable. And this works. Look at your tent. Vatikacha isha vatifrosat ha-masach ha-pnei. Firstly, she spreads some sort of cover over the well. Vatishtach alav harifot. She spreads some sort of grain or whatever was on it. Velona da-davar, as if nothing was known. In other words, it looked as if nothing was disturbed. And then the men come. Ve'yavav de shalom eleisha abayta. They come into a house. Ve'yomer ayach himatsu Yonatan. So they say straight away, where are the two messengers? Achimatsu Yonatan, the runners. Ve'tamalem aisha ibru michal hamayim. They've got across the water. Ve'yivakshu lo matzav yeshu yushalayim. They looked, they couldn't find. And they returned to Jerusalem. And the rabbis explain that what she did while they were looking or going to look in the well is that she uncovered her hair. I think Rashi says this. Harifut. Does Rashi say that? No. There's a whole thing. There's a midrashic comment here. And I don't think it's in Rashi. Maybe it's in the Radak. Just one second. Harifut. No. Doesn't say so. There is definitely a very interesting. Oh yeah, here it is. It's in Mari Kara. Mari Kara is one of the early commentaries, a contemporary of Rashi. Vatishtach alav harifut. I'll just read it to you because you haven't got it in your book. Pitrono. What does it mean? Vatishtach alav saarot rosha. She spread out her hair in such a way that it was kind of hanging loose. Sheim yavo harot fim achreihem v'yikantzu b'chatzeh achreihem. Sheyiru ota priyat rosh v'yeshuv lehem. They'll see her hair hanging down, they'll see that she's got her hair uncovered, and they will turn around out of respect for her and go the other way. Unbelievable. So here, it's just amazing this. Yeah.
She isn't the same as the Shivcha?
This is the Shivcha.
They know that she's told something.
Yeah, but they still have the halachic awareness not to embarrass her or whatever it is, to break the boundaries of tznia. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. The rabbis do this all the time. They introduce halachic dimensions into these stories, which, I mean, I remember the best example ever is obviously Avigail, where Avigail is trying to stop David from killing her husband. So in the middle of the night, when David is running with 400 men towards her house, she manages to cut him off at the pass, and she starts having a halachic discussion with him about paskening halacha at night time. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing you can even suggest such a thing, let alone that you can, you believe it really took place. And yet, it's within the realms of possibility, because this is a Jewish plot. This is not your regular kind of, cloak and dagger stuff. This has always got within it and behind it and part of it, always got Jewish dimensions, got halachic dimensions, got biblical dimensions, Torah dimensions. It's always so interesting. So I throw that in because it just amazes me that she got away with it, but she obviously did. Anyway, basically the men were searching, they went back to Yerushalayim, and of course Yonatan Achimatz managed to deliver the message. Verse 21. Vayachri lechtam, so the chasing group went away. So Achimatz and Yonatan got out of the well. Vayelcha v'yagid l'melech David, they told the king. Vayomer David, kumu, get up, v'ivru meherat amayim, go over the river to the other side, presumably that wherever they were, probably near the Jordan or whatever river it was. This was Achitofel's advice. All right. In other words, very interesting, because the advice that that she tells them to give is the advice of Achitofel that David should save his own life, even though we know that it was superseded by Hushai's advice that the whole people would come. But basically, David's life is in danger, whichever way you understand it, and that's it. You've got to get out of here. Yeah.
That was the worst of the two scenarios, though, that if Avshalom reverts and says, let's go back to plan A, because plan B is not working, so he's ready for plan A.
He's ready for plan A. So this is good. This is very good. It makes the whole thing absolutely covered. Fascinating. And you're absolutely right. Chav bet. So the people got up. Vayavrete Yarden. Yeah, we're right. They were by the Jordan. Ad Ora Bokes. It took the whole night to cross. Ad Echad Lo Nedar. Nobody was lost. Asher Lo Avarti Yarden. Everybody crossed the Jordan. Vachitofel Ra'an. Now here comes Achitofel, who seems to be devastated. He's devastated. Kilo Nestat Satod, that they didn't follow his advice. So what would you do? You go home and live for another day, so there'll be an Eitzah tomorrow. You're a Rebbe. So they didn't listen to you today, so they'll listen to you tomorrow. No. Vayachvosh et chamo, he saddles up the donkey. Vayokom v'yelech el beito eliro. I don't want to shock you, but he goes home. Vayetzav el beito v'yechanek. He, as it were, left his tzava, he left his will, and he killed himself, he strangled himself. Sure. Unbelievable. He committed suicide. He just could not handle the fact that they didn't listen to it. It's amazing. Totally amazing.
Well, he was going to be judge's American office.
Well, yeah. I mean, he knew that he was going to get the chop anyway, so I suppose he decided to preempt. Vayamad v'yikaber b'kever aviv. He was buried in his father's grave, I suppose the family plot. And it just, again, is unreal. At this point, David, there's an interesting, of course, situation. What's going to be next? Because you've now got the bigger group chasing after David. What's going to happen? But this is where, again, part two of Hashgacha Pratis kicks in. Divine providence. Chaf Dalet. It's a great story. But David bar Machanaim, but David comes to a place called Machanaim. Avshalom avarti Yarden. Avshalom goes over the Jordan. Hu v'chol ish Yisraelimo with all his people. Ve'et amasa son Avshalom tachad Yoav al atzava. There was a gentleman now, instead of Yoav, because Yoav was still faithful to David. So he has now a new captain called Amasa. Amasa is somebody that I mentioned over here. Did I give you his? Yeah. Amasa is related to Yoav. It's H. You've got here Tsuruya, who was David's sister, had a son called Yoav. Now what happened was that she also had, Tsuruya herself had a sister called Abigail. Which, as I said, is very confusing, because Abigail was also the wife of David, a different woman. And she had relations with a guy called Yitra. I don't know if they were married. It seems to be that they weren't. And they had a son called Amasa. So for all intents and purposes, Amasa is Yoav's cousin. Right? This guy Amasa. Even though he's not really, he's sort of born out of wedlock. He's the cousin that we don't want to talk about. The feta that we know about, but he doesn't really feature on the, he's not going to feature on the Yerusha. But whatever it is, this is who he is. Pasuk Chafei. Bet Amasa Sam Avshalom Tachad Yoav Al Atzava. And he's obviously now taken over the army. V'Amasa Ben Ish, he's the son of a man. We don't know the man's name. Ushmo Yitra Yisraeli. He's called Yitra the Israeli, the Israelite Asher Baal Avigail Bat Nachash, who had relations with this Avigail, the daughter of Nachash, Achot Tsruya Eim Yoav, who was the sister of Tsruya, the mother of Yoav. So it turns out Amasa was Yoav's cousin. So not only was he Yoav's cousin, it turns out also he was, technically, I suppose you could say he's David's cousin. You know, everything's in the family. This gets ridiculous. But whatever. So that's the guy in charge. And Avshalom has got to a point where he camps in a place called Eretz Agilad, which is on the Transjordan, on the other side of the Jordan. David comes to Machanaim, and here all of a sudden his friends appear. David has followers and friends in the non-Jewish world who come out of the woodwork. You've got a guy called Shovi ben Nachash, me Rabat ben Amon, from Rabat ben Amon, wherever that is, maybe that's somewhere in Jordan, I don't know. Mochir ben Amiel, and another guy called Mochir, Melo Davar, from a place called Lo Davar. Barzilai Giladi, me Roglim, and Barzilai Giladi. He's a guy that we're going to actually read about later on in the Book of Kings, when David gives Shlomo instructions on who to be careful about. He says, by the way, don't forget to reward Barzilai and his friends for giving me support, because they give him food. Look what they did. Mishkav sapodukli yotzer, they bring out bowls and beds and some sort of vessels. V'chitim asorim, and they bring wheat and barley, v'kemach and flour, v'koli, and parched corn, and pol, v'adashim, and all different types of kidney. V'koli, they basically gave him something to eat. U'davash v'chema, and there was honey, and there was butter, v'tzon u'svot bakar, Shvot Bakar, and there's also, you've got to go through all of this, right? He gave a lamb, and he gave him some meat. He gishu le David al ama sheito lechol, they gave it to eat. Ki amru ha'am ra'eva yefet samei bamidbar, they must be hungry. And these guys brought out all this food for David's men. At this point, I want to continue, because this is the famous part of the story that I think most of you will know. Pasuk Aleph of chapter 18. Vayivko David et ha'am asher ito, David counted the people with him. Yosem aleim sarei lafim sarei meot. Now David's got to make a plan. How do I defend myself? Because I know they're coming after me. So he divides his group with captains of thousands and captains of hundreds. Vayishalach David et ha'am ashlishi biyad Yoav. He puts a third of the group under Yoav. And a third in the hand of Avishai. We saw him before. He's the brother of Yoav. Itai Hagiti was B. He was the original friend of David, who we know David said, you can go back, you can return and not come with me because you don't have to be with me. But Itai said, no, where you go, I will go. It's a bit like Ruth. He committed himself to David. So obviously he was a military man and he controlled a third of the group, the third of the troops. But Yomar Melech al Ha'am, so now the king says to the people, three groups. Yotzoitse gam ani imachem, I'm going to go with you to stand and fight the fight. One guesses that David, you know, realized that he wants to lead from the front. And the people said, no. Vayomer am lo teitse, do not go out. And this is not vakasha, you know, please don't go out. This is a command. Ki im nos na nus, because if we run away, lo yosima eleinu lev, they won't really take notice of us. Vayim yomusu chetzienu lo yosima eleinu lev, even if they kill half of us, they won't take notice. You know why? Ki ata kamonu asar alafim, because you're worth 10,000. They'll be looking for you. So you know what, David? Don't go to the front line. Sorry? Atah, because now, in other words, at this moment, you are worth 10,000. You are worth 10,000. V'atah, and now, tov, it'll be good, ki tiyel anu me'ir lazo, you'll stay in the city, wherever they are, in this place where they're waiting, and you will help us from there. In other words, if we're in that sort of trouble, you'll come out as the backup. Right, but you're not going to go to war. But Yomalem, so the king said, whatever's good in your eyes, I will do. And this is very not David. This is David saying, you know, I'm listening to what you have to say. Normally, we've seen David; he takes the lead. But in this case, you know, you guys, he can't believe their loyalty. He's so overwhelmed and sort of taken with their sense of commitment to him that he just doesn't want to do anything else but listen to what they say. And what happened? V'yamod ha-melech ha-yad ha-shah, he stands by the gate, v'chol ha'am yatzu le-me'od al-alafim, and the people go out, and there's going to be a terrible battle, as you can imagine. V'yitzav ha-melech et Yoav et Avishai et Itai le'mo, and he commands the three commanders, the three groups, the leaders of the group, saying, la'at li la'nar Avshalom, please be gentle with Avshalom. Unbelievable. Don't kill him. He's the head of the rebellion. But David says, he's my son. Capture him. I don't know, whatever. Bring him to me, but don't kill him.
That's why I think he didn't want to go to war.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if he'd gone, you have to kill him. Yeah, and I think so. You're right. It's unreal. David is caught up in this, and we've said this again and again and again, how emotional David is. He's a father. Sorry?
It's
opposite most kings.
Slaughtered
everybody. Who cares? And Absalom was prepared to kill David. That's what. So David is a tzaddik beyond belief. He doesn't bear a grudge to anyone in his life, except you'll see at the end of his life, he just says to Shlomo, just be careful. There are certain people around. They haven't shown their loyalty. Just watch your back. But he doesn't seem to bear grudges. David is a man who is, you know, he's remarkable, as we'll see and we'll continue to see. And look what he says now. V'chol ha'am shamu b'tzavot ha'melech et kol ha'sarim ha'dva Avshalom. Everybody heard the command, don't kill Avshalom. V'yeitza ha'am ha'sadeh likrat Yisrael. So now you've got this tremendous battle, right? The battle lines are drawn between the two sides, the Israel on one side and David's men on the other side. Civil war yet again. V'atahiyah milchama b'yar Ephraim. And the war took place in the forest of Ephraim. The rabbis have a big problem because this is outside of Israel. So what is Yar Ephraim? Ephraim was not one of the tribes outside Israel, so it seems to be that they used to nip over the Jordan and go there for particular reason, maybe to fell the trees, to bring wood from there. So it got the nickname Yah Ephraim. So again, you know, they weren't bound by the boundaries of Israel. Under certain circumstances, they would go outside. Now it says at this point, and again, Midrash kicks in, And it gave me the shivers. This part of the Midrash gave me the absolute shivers. How did they win in the forest of Ephraim? It says that the trees came down and killed the people. That gave me the shivers after what we've just been through here in this terrible news that we had. It really shook me when I read this. They say Ya Ephraim. That's exactly what was going on here. Rashi says, Mehechan ha'yal Ephraim. It was on the other side of the Jordan. And he says that it's only for those parts of the tribe. Rashi doesn't go into the question of what exactly the trees did. It says here, according to, I think it's the Radak says it, that he says that the way that this battle was fought was done through these incredible Nisim. Ya Ephraim, what does the Radak say over here? No, he doesn't say it either. There has to be somebody here who talks about this. The Ralbag says that in the forest there were many wild animals that attacked the soldiers. There are different suggestions exactly how the forest sort of helped them. But again, in Midrashic terms, I don't know where this comes from, it says that they were killed by falling trees. That's the way that the war was overwhelmingly fought against the army that was chasing David. Which, as I said, this gave me a bit of a shiver when I read this. All right, so that's what's going on here. So again, Pasuk Zayin, Vayinokvu Sham Am Yisrael Lifnei Avdei David. So the people of Israel were smitten there. Vayehi Sham Magefa Gdola B'Yamahu Esrim Aleph. 20,000 people died. Unbelievable. And then it spread out over all that particular part of the land. The trees started consuming the people. Literally, the trees fell on them. More than the sword. People were just literally being killed because of falling debris. And Chayes Ros, or there are animals there, whatever it is, it's really scary. But as I said, this gave me the chills. I think I was going to mention at the beginning that maybe we should have dedicated our shir this evening, Lelui Nishmatam, of the people who died so tragically on Shams. I mean, it's just, I don't know, there's nothing to say. There's absolutely nothing to say. It's just the most scary thing. All right, Pasuk Tet. So what happened? Absalom is chasing in the middle of the forest, and this is the famous part of the story. He's a guy with long hair. So what's going to happen to him? Vayikra Avshalom lifnei avdei David. So he calls to the servants of David. Avshalom rochev al hapered, and he is riding his mule. Vayavol hapered tachat shovach ha'ela gdola, and it was a big tree with some sort of hanging branches. Vayachazak rosho ba'ela. And his hair got caught in the branches. Very interesting phrase. He was between heaven and earth. And the rabbis say, you know why? Because it says that he could have taken a sword, cut his hair, and he would have got down. But it says no, because underneath him, he saw the opening of hell. He saw Gehinnom. And it says, had he got down, he would have disappeared into Gehinnom. That's a metaphor which is pretty scary. That's Bein Shemayim La'aretz. As far as he was concerned, that was it. He was done for. V'haperet asher tachta v'avar, and the donkey ran away. And here's Absalom suspended by his hair in the tree, because he's got long hair. He's a nozir. And of course, the obvious comments are midah keneged midah, measure for measure. He prided himself on his hair, so now he's going to be losing his life because of his hair. You know, you can see all that coming. So somebody told Yoav. Yoav is the hitman, as I showed you on the sheet. Section I, Yoav is responsible directly or indirectly for four people to die. And one of them is the top one here, indirectly is Avshalom. I say indirectly, it was kind of three-quarters Yoav, and then the other people finished him off. You'll see what happens here. So they saw Yoav, Avshalom is hanging there. So Yoav says to this man, why didn't you kill him? You saw the enemy number one. Why didn't you kill him? I would have rewarded you. I would have given you 10 pieces of silver, and a belt, something which is obviously worth a lot of money. You would have got a great reward. The man said no. He said, you can't even give me 1,000 pieces of silver. I'm not going to kill the son of the king because of what David had said. The king has commanded you. Vet Avishai vet Itai Leman, the other captains, Avishai and Itai, saying, Shimru me, guard at least Benar Avshalom, don't kill Avshalom. So this man was very loyal to the king. Oh, Asiti Benafshi Sheker Kol Davar Lo Yikachei Min Amalek. If I would have done it, then I would have never been able to hide it from the king. V'atatit Yatzei Binega. And you want to stand against? You want to stand, you know, and sort of suggest it? In other words, he doesn't understand why Yoav can even suggest this. V'yomer Yoav Lo Kein Ochila Lefenecha. Yoav says, you know what? I'm not going to ask you again, and I'm going to do it myself. Now, Yoav is the most pragmatic person when it comes to war. He knows you've got to kill Avshalom. He knows that the king has said you mustn't kill Avshalom. And he knows that Avshalom is Mishpuch, is his cousin. Alright, but he knows that if you don't kill Avshalom, you as an army fighting against the other army, you're never going to win this battle. So what did he do? He took three, some, however you translate it, sticks or darts or arrows or whatever it was, but Yitka'en b'leiv Avshalom, and he killed Avshalom directly in the heart. Nasty stuff. Odenu chai b'leiv ha'elab, and he pinned him to the tree with these sticks. They went through, and Avshalom was pinned to the tree. He wasn't dead yet. And v'yasov asara narim, then along come 10 of them lads, nosei kleyov, who were carrying his weapons, v'yakad Avshalom v'yimitu, and then they killed him. Wow, there's no messing around with these guys. Now, of course, at this point, you've got essentially the end of the rebellion. You've got now, David will be able to pick up all the loose ends of the rebellion and hopefully bring everybody together. But the question is, how are you going to tell the king? The king has said, you know what, don't kill my son. So who's going to tell him? Yoav says, no, I'm not going to tell him. Yoav kills him, but he's not going to tell him. And of course, there are a couple of guys here who said, but the king has got to find out. He's got to tell the king. And you'll see what happens here. Posit Ted Zayin. Ve'et ka Yoav ba'shofar. Yoav blows the shofar. Ve'yoshav ha'am erdov achrei Yisrael. And the chase is over, and the enemy runs away. Or enemy, the group of Jews that are supporting Avshalom run away. Ki chasach Yoav et ha'am. Yoav has held back the people. Basically, he stops the war. Blows the shofar, the war is stopped. Vayikuet Avshalom, they took Avshalom, Vayashlicho to Bayar al Pachat Gadol, they threw Avshalom in some sort of pit, Vayatziva lo Avakal Avanim Gadol Ma'od, made some sort of pile of stones upon him, V'chol Yisrael Nasu Ishlalo, everybody went home. And of course, it's interesting, he brings in the English copy here, that Yad Avshalom, you go to Yerushalayim, there's a place called Yad Avshalom, outside the old city, on the other side, going up to Mount of Olives. And that was, the Pasuk tells you what that was. He had already established a place where he was going to be buried. And he built this kind of mausoleum there. Because he said, I have no children. Who's going to say Kaddish for me? Who's going to remember me? And therefore he had this memorial made on his name, it's called Yad Avshalom. Apparently there used to be a hand on the top. According to this note, it says Napoleon came there and knocked it off. Napoleon smashed the Yad from the top of the Yad Avshalom. You go there, you don't see there's a hand on the top. You see this like triangle shape, if I remember rightly. But there's no Yad at the top, there's no sign of a hand. And according to this note, it says Napoleon shot it off with a cannon, who said a son who raised his hand against his father deserves to have it shot off. Whoa. So even, you know, history here just jumps centuries, but how interesting that is. Napoleon got rid of this Yad. And it's always called Yad Avshalom. Sorry? And Napoleon really didn't know his history. You know, there's a lot of stories about Napoleon. Napoleon walked past the shul on Tisha B'Av, famous story, and he heard the Jews cry. And he said to his officer, he said, "Who? What is that?" So they say, "Explain. This is their day. They remember the temple." So he said, "The temple? When was?" He said, "Was it destroyed last week? Because they're crying." So he said, "No, guys. I think it was destroyed about 2,000 years ago." And he said, Napoleon said this, he said that if a nation can cry like that for over 2,000 years on a building that not even their great-great-grandfathers have ever seen, they're going to see the rebuilding of it as well. Beautiful story. And it's a famous story, a quote from Napoleon. They can cry about the destruction so long ago, they'll also merit the rebuilding. He's an interesting character. He obviously sort of, at least if that story is true, he probably earned his Olam Haba with that story, you know. And if it's a medrash, then it's a nice story. A bubba meiser, but it's a good bubba meiser. All right, so let's see what happened. We'll just finish off the chapter very quickly. Yutet and Vachimatz ben Tzadok Amar, Rutzon Achimatz, who was a runner. I've got to go and run. That God has judged him from his enemy. In other words, that he's won. Got to tell the king. Yoav says, no. Look, Ish besarata yomaze. You're not going to give any news today. Besarta yomachar. Go another day. Put it off another day. In other words, Yoav realized that he's in trouble. Vayomaze lo tvasek ki al kein ben melech me. Because today is when the son of the king has died. The king will be, how should we say, it's not a good time to go and see him. Wait a bit longer before you tell him the news. Now, it's a strange comment, because how's he going to know? How's the king going to know that his son has died if nobody tells him? But I think what Yoav is basically saying is that, you know, let's give it another day or two. Let the dust settle before we tell the king, because if I tell him now, who knows what his reaction is going to be. But Yoma Yoav Lekushi, so there was another young man who seems to be a Cushi. Cushi meaning a dark-skinned gentleman, not told who he is. Lech aged lemelech asher ra'ita. He says to the Cushi, go and tell the king what you saw. Ve'ishtachu Cushi liyav v'yorot. So this Cushi goes and runs instead. It's very strange. Maybe Yoav was told him maybe a slightly different story to the story that the other guy said. In other words, don't be direct with the king. Be indirect so that the king won't get too much of a shock or won't be, have a, too much of a reaction to what you're going to tell him. So what happened? Vayosef ad Achimaz ben Tzadok vayomel Yoav. So this Achimaz, who'd been so loyal to the king and wanted to run to the king, he says to Yoav, Vayihima, you know what? Arutzana gamoni achri akushi. I'll run after the kushi. You know, two of us will go. But Yom Yoav lamaze ata ratzbeni says, why are you doing this? Ulecha ein basara motzed. He said, if you go, there won't be any reward for what you tell him. In other words, he still was not happy about Achimaz going. One suspects again, the kushi would have was told to say something in a very general way, whereas Achimaz would have said it direct. And Yoav was very concerned that the king should not sort of have a negative reaction to the news. So he says, come what may, I'm going to go. So Achimaz said, I'm going to go. Rutz, go. So he even ran faster than the Cushi, who presumably was a good runner, and they both run towards the king. Now here's where David reacts. For David Yoshev ben Shnei Sharim, he's sitting between the two gates of the place where the city where he's waiting. The scout goes up to the roof, El Gaga Shal, Machoma goes onto the wall. He sees a man coming, running. Tells to the king, the king says, Im Levado. He's coming alone, Besorah Befiv, he's got news. Vayelech Aloch Vakarev, and the man was coming nearer. Vayarat Sofer Ishacheras, and he sees another one running, because there were two of them, right? Vayigrat Sofer El Ashoer, so he calls to the guys at the gate. Vayomi Ine Ishrats the Vado, Vayoma Hamelech Gamzemeva says another one. So David said also, it must be some more news. So there's news number one and news number two. This is like a long news broadcast. Vayomat Sofer, Anira Ed Murutzata Rishon. I can see the first one. Murutzata Achimaz Ben Tzadok. I recognize he runs like Achimaz. You know, when you watch the Olympics enough, you get to recognize the way that they run. You can always tell certain runners. So he knew Achimaz was the first guy. Vayomat Melech Ishtov Zeh. He's a good man. El Besaratova Yavo is going to bring good news. Vayikra Achimaz. Achimaz calls out. Vayomel Melech Shalom. He says, hello, king. And he bowed down to the ground. It's lovely language that, you know, you see the exchange, these beautiful words of that we always take for granted when we say hello, shalom, and Baruch Hashem. But this is where you see how they spoke to each other with this sense of God the whole time. So he says Baruch Hashem Elokecha, blessed is the Lord your God, asher sigata anashim asher nasu et yadam b'adonai amen. The people have been defeated. In other words, the rebellion is over. Vayomer amela shalom lana avshalom. But the king was interested in one thing only. What happened to Avshalom? Vayomer Achimaz, ra'iti amon ha'gadol. Achimaz said, I don't know, because I didn't see the final what happened to him. But he says, I saw a big crowd, lishloch et ha'eved ha'melech Yoav, v'et avdech v'lo yodati ma. He says, I saw Yoav and I saw your servants. I don't know what happened. Vayomer ha'melech tzovit yatzev ko. He says, turn around and wait here. Vayesovi amod. So the Achimaz just stood there and waited. In other words, let's see what the second guy has to say, the Cushi. Vayinei ha'Cushi ba. The Cushi came. Vayom haKushi yidbaser Adonai HaMelech. I've got news for the king. Ki shafatcha Hashem ayom yad kol hakam alech. The same news, you've won. Vayom haMelech al haKushi yashalom lana avshalom. What about Avshalom? Vayom haKushi. This is what he was told to say. Yihiyu kanar oivei Adonai HaMelech. All the enemies of my king, my master the king, should be like this boy. Anyone who comes up against you for evil. In other words, the enemy should have the same situation as him, he's dead. Basically, in a very roundabout way, he said to the king, Avshalom has died. And what is the reaction at this point? This is unreal. I've heard this said at the Hesped a number of times. I remember in Israel, I heard this when somebody was killed in the Lebanon War in 82. And it says, Vayigaz HaMelech, the king, trembled. Vayal Eliyat HaShah, Vayev, he cried. Bekoama Belechto, he said while he was walking, Bani Avshalom, Bani, Bani Avshalom, mi yitein muti ani tachtecha. I wish I would have died instead of you. Avshalom, Bani, Bani. My son Avshalom, he cries, he cries, he cries. You know, David is I don't know what to say. It just sort of, it brings you to tears when you think about this. You know, when you read this, and you read the emotional reaction, and the strength of his reaction, he just can't speak. He just sits there, and it's the father is devastated. You know, I mean, after this, as we said, even after the story of Bathsheba already, things had changed. And the biggest change is that David witnesses one after the other his children dying. There's a story, the Chofetz Chaim, I think, his son died, I'm pretty sure, while he was alive. And he gave a hesped there. And again, it was a very, very difficult, I imagine, must have been impossible hesped to give. To give a hesped on a son is clearly not the natural order of things. And I don't remember now, but he gave a whole... He commented, I don't know whether he quoted from here, Bnei Avshalom, but he quoted from a story from the Gezerah Tachtad, if I'm not mistaken, when Chelmanitsky, there was a whole story then when the Polish Jewish community was decimated in 1648. One of the great Gedolim also had to give a speech on the death of his son, and Chofetz Chaim repeated those words, you know, because very often it's you know, if you can share it or sort of find a precedent for it, one can find a certain amount of strength in that. And I wouldn't say comfort, but certainly strength. And these words of David, Bani Bani, where he just cannot speak, all he can do is mention his son and mention the name. As I said, I've heard quoted a number of times in different sort of contexts, and it's very moving. It's really very moving. Yeah.
Yeah. We would have been able to reconcile.
And reconcile, absolutely. And of course the question now will be, what will be the aftermath of all this? And we'll come and see. We haven't still answered the most basic question of why the rebellion took on such a strong following at the beginning. Something for you to think about, we'll continue this Mitzvah Hashem next week, is the suggestion, I'm going to make this suggestion, is the fact that maybe the kingdom of David was too good. It was too much of a good thing. Now, what do I mean by that is I'll explain next week. It could be that the people, when they saw Malchut David, they realized this is just too good. There's too much holiness here. You know, when you're dealing with a leadership, sometimes you have to deal with a situation of a leader who, there's got to be politics, there's got to be toing and froing. When you're dealing with a tzaddik running the whole show, right, and going through these terrible ups and downs, that could very well be, this is a suggestion, I'm not saying it's right, but it's a suggestion made. One of the commentators that writes on this in our time has suggested that, you know what, the people were scared. The people were scared that David, all right, David's a tzaddik, and he's not going to let the side down. But what happens if the king, three kings down the line, is going to be a rogue, or even two kings down the line, and we'll never get rid of him? We'll never have a situation, because you know what, David had this problem with Bathsheba, and he's still around. And you know what? It's a problem. Because this shows that there is a certain continuity to the kingship which is never going to be able to be challenged. And it's all well and good when you've got a David and a Shlomo. But what happens when you get somebody later on, a Menashe, right? You get a king that is going to be so evil that we just can't get rid of him, because that's the deal. The deal is that there's a dynasty. We've got to go with it. So it could very well be, the suggestion is, at this point, the people were rethinking their whole commitment to the kingship. It's a very interesting suggestion. And what that means is that instead of having David and continuation without, with all of the spirituality attached, they're going to start afresh. We'll start with Avshalom as the new king. He looks good, he looks the part, he looks, you know, he's got all the milas, he's got a bit of holiness, he's a nozzi, he's got every sort of suggested strength on that side. And you know what? He'll be number one. Who'll come after him? We'll wait and see. You know, maybe we'll revert back to Shaul's family, who knows? All right, and this is a very interesting suggestion. As I said, we'll develop it a bit more next time, and also, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see chapter 19, kind of the conclusion of this story. Unbelievable story. Wow. B'nai Avshalom. Something to think about. All right, have a good evening, everybody. Thank you.